Hello and welcome back to the Relationship Matters podcast. We believe relationship matters from humanity to nature to the larger whole. I'm your host, Katie Churchman, and in this episode, I'm very excited to have Faith Fuller and Janet Froude back on the show to talk about nature. In season three, we discussed nature as an ally, and in this episode, we build on the conversation by exploring nature flirts as a guru principle. Across the conversation, we discuss the notion of a guru principle and how it can reveal our minds to us, quantum flirts and how they can help us to be more aware and awake to things, how nature flirts can open up portals for inquiry through sensory awareness, what we can learn by embracing the full range of our experience with nature. How can we create more space for the signals that nature is sending us? Faith Fuller is co-founder of Sierra Global. She is a psychologist, an experienced trainer and coach with over 20 years of experience working with organisations, couples and communities. Faith takes a systems approach to coaching, namely that all aspects of the system need to be addressed in order for effective change to occur. Her particular skill is empowering powerful, productive and joyous relationships in couples, partnerships and teams. She also has a background in consultation, team building, conflict resolution and community crisis intervention. Janet Froude is a faculty member at CRR Global and an internationally certified coach specialising in executive leadership and team development. After 20 years of what Janet calls her accidental career, she made a big leap and completely changed her own career path. In 2005, she founded Horizon Leadership and dedicated her work to supporting leaders and teams on their journeys. Janet's inspirational work focuses on the human and relational dimensions of all organizational life, cultivating the talent and resourcefulness of individuals and teams they move towards their goals together. So without further ado, I bring you Janet Froude and Faith Fuller talking about nature flirts as a guru principle. Janet, Faith, welcome back to the Relationship Matters podcast, season four.
Wow, season four.
That's amazing.
It's been a while since we last spoke about nature together, so I'm happy to be with you both today, talking about nature flirts as a guru principle. So I'm very curious about this topic and what this title really means. So I wonder if we could start there.
Well, I think the thing to understand is what is exactly guru principle, because it's so easy to misunderstand that. A guru principle is simply anything that shows you your state of mind or makes you aware of your emotions or your thinking, anything that wakes you up to who you are being. So it doesn't involve a guru as a person. Gurus as people can do that. Of course, they can wake you up. Good teachers can wake you up. Doctors can wake you up. But in this particular application, we want to talk about nature as something trying to wake you up.
Feels very enticing. I feel lured in by this call.
Well, let's entice some more. Yeah. So we can, let's talk about what's the best way to do that, to run into nature as guru. And one of the best roads is flirts. And Janet, I'm going to let you take over there.
Yeah. So if we think about quantum flirts, and certainly we try and train it as part of the relationship systems intelligence of helping people become aware and awake to things, it really is that awareness, cultivating awareness. And it really is, you know, it's a flirt is just something that grabs your attention. It can be a sound, it can be a sight, it can be
a smell,
but it's very sensory. You know, flirts are quite sensory. Mm. And that's why we think that, you know, the flirts with nature can be quite provocative because, you know, nature is all a sensory channel, you know, and it's very powerful that way. So it really brings a consciousness. You know, when you start to partner or dance with the flirt, it can start to bring to consciousness something that is maybe somewhere in your consciousness, but it brings it to light. It brings it forward in a new way. And it's very imaginal, you know, because I think when I think of dancing with flirts, it's often, well, what is trying to get my attention? What if I was that noise? How is that living in me? So you start to go into this deeper inquiry about self and awareness.
And I think flirts are relational. You can't experience a flirt without connecting with something outside of yourself that is flirting with you. And there's that wonderful book, The Color Purple. Forgive me, I cannot remember the author right now. And literally, you know, she says, I think, the character in the book says, I think when you walk by the color purple and you don't notice, nature gets mad. So it's very much the idea that the world is already trying to flirt with you. It's sending colors and smells and beauty and horrendousness and scary things. And it's up to us to meet it, to pay attention, to find out what's in there. What's in the third entity between myself and the forest fire or the mosquito? So it's relational, and it's an invitation to go deeper into a profound and intimate relationship with the cosmos, with nature, and see what it wants to tell us.
So, you know, we were dreaming into this a little bit too and thinking about, well, like, what are some examples? Well, thunder. Like, I'm scared. It scares me, but it's like, but, you know, again, it's like, where am I commanding attention as thunder? You know, it's like, how is that in me? Or a forest fire or hurricane, how am I raging? You know, the rage is all around witnessing, but how am I raging? You know, if it was an inquiry, it's offering me an inquiry moment. You know, a plant wilted, and it's sort of, it's like, where am I wilting in my life?
Or it could be applied to the larger system. That's the me system. Or it also could be, wow, you know, how is the United States or North America or any other place raging right now with forest fires or dying of drought? Or how is it an analogy, a metaphor for the larger systemic things that are happening in our world?
I loved the wilting plant example. I have a peace lily who's very temperamental, and she definitely has a personality, because if I don't water her, she's so stroppy. Yeah. I'll turn my back after watering her and suddenly she's there. And that reminds me, if I haven't eaten, I'm exactly the same. I'm very stroppy. So it's interesting you mentioned that example, because there is so much personality in life in nature when we look for it, but often we're not.
Yeah.
And I think, and when we allow it to be a mirror and a place of inquiry, you know, even to see something that I don't like in nature, and, you know, and it's like, how might that be, you know, part of myself as well? The thing that I reject, and it's like, well, what if this is something for me to learn from in this moment as well?
Well, when you say that, Janet, I'm just struck by nature brings us to our edges often. Sometimes it's delightful, like this, you know, I have this brilliant salmon colored maple in my backyard right now, which is more than just flirting with me. You know, it's a positive striptease with its leaves. You know? where do I get edgy if there's a, you know, a dead deer that's decomposing on my trail? You know, what edge does that bring me to? And what's that about? Or spiders that are scary. It brings us to our edges. So there's an invitation of what's at that edge. And it, again, it's relational. You can't get there without the spider. You can't get there without that forest fire bringing it to your awareness. And that's Guru Principle.
Yeah.
I think my understanding of Guru Principle, and as it relates to nature, was that it was going to bring us more presence. But I realized that's still focusing just on us and not the relationship. Nature does more than just bring us back to ourselves and presence. It shows us parts of ourselves, perhaps, that we haven't even recognized or acknowledged before, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we all know perfectly well at this time that nature has a lot to say back. You know, there are a number of disasters in the world with forest fires and hurricanes. Nature is talking loudly. And it's like it's talking and talking and talking. And we're sort of turned away thinking about other things. Or how do we manage it? You know, how can we tamp down this problem? It's not relational at all. It's abusive, frankly.
And that notion of the third entity that we create with nature and those moments in time, you know, it's sort of like, I think that that piece is quite profound, you know, because especially when we're living in a time of a climate crisis, the planet is changing, you know, and it's sort of, you know, the overwhelm that people are feeling of, I don't know what to do. And I think the first level in so much of the client action work that I'm starting to pay attention to is saying, first and foremost, it's such a grand issue that it is hard to process. But when we can come into our own relationship with nature and, you know, what is happening around us and how that lives in us, that is the first sense of, you know, where you can act from. Mm. If I'm completely disconnected and I don't cultivate my love and care or relationship with the earth and, you know, the land and the world around us, then I won't take action. So there's something about, there's that intimacy of connection, but it's a commitment to being in relationship is the vital place. That we need to pay attention. And as Faith was saying, there's flirts happening all around us. We are being called to attention all the time. And so are we willing to turn and nod and be in relationship, or are we turning away in these moments?
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, Janet, in the sense of we, you know, the research is showing actually that all of this death and doom data about the destruction of the world doesn't seem to shift people. In fact, it makes us anxious and afraid and guilty, and then we turn away because we don't want to feel that way. But when you fall in love with something in your garden, you nurture it, you fertilize it, you go out and trim it, you love that thing. Mm-hmm. So you take care of it. So it starts in your backyard. Can you find something that you love in your household, your peace lily, your whatever? Start with something that pulls your heart into relationship. And you will take care of that which you love. And hopefully that which we love can expand into something more than just our personal garden.
Yeah, I have a little story. This just happened this week where, so I live in Canada. We're in fall, but we're starting to get snow. And our garden has been in its kind of deconstructing mode. But we've had these Gerbera daisies that I planted in the spring. And I love them because they're so vibrant and strong and bold. And I looked outside and there was snow and there's still three Gerbera daisies standing tall and bright. And I'm like, wow, are you ever feisty? And I thought, and it was really this interesting thing of like, you know, because it's cold and everybody's retreating. And yet it's like this motion of this notion of, but I still stand strong. Like, and, you know, and how, and it, well, I used it as a flirt moment. And it's like, even where things are dying off or getting, you know, cold and retreating, where am I still standing strong and bright?
I love it.
And it was really potent. And so it was, yeah, they were flirting with me for sure.
It's beautiful.
Well, the other thing that I'm just thinking of is, you know, the larger context of what we're talking about is how can we be in better and reciprocal relationship where we care for nature as well as recognizing that, frankly, nature is caring for us. And, you know, I think there's also a sense of distance from nature that we, there's us and then there's nature, as if we're mm-hmm. different. And frankly, that's absurd. Everything is nature. The atoms in your computer screen are nature. They're natural. The stars out in the sky are nature. You, I, we are nature. And it's not separate from us. You know, it's in us all the time. And part of my desire that I think would help us all is if we could blur that sense sometimes of that distinct, I'm a person, I'm a faith, you know, and I have a boundary and I'm all caught up in faithness. But if I can relax into my own, I'm, you know, my breath is intermingling with nature. I'm breathing the oxygen of the trees and sending out the, you know, carbon dioxide to them. There's actually a constant movement back and forth between nature and ourselves. And we need to loosen up that boundary. And the more we loosen, the bigger we get as nature becomes an aspect of our own identity. Did that make sense?
It really did. And I was thinking about how separate we feel from other people, let alone nature.
Yeah.
And one thing that really helped to sort of crack open the door for me around that was I heard on a podcast someone said that the patterns of nature are repeated on us everywhere. So on our fingertips, we have the patterns like the galaxies, and our veins, they're like estuaries or the roots of a tree. And I'd never thought about that before, that the patterns of nature, they're very much within us and on us and a part of us. And I think many of us do think about ourselves as separate.
And there's a terrible poverty in that, because I'm all alone.
Mm.
when we are surrounded by nature, which is desperately trying to get our attention, sometimes by burning down our house, you know, but sometimes by that gorgeous tree or Gerber daisy in your back, in your backyard. We don't have to be lonely. It's all out there waiting for connection.
Yeah. So I think it does beg the question, are we cultivating relationship with nature when the flirts come, you know, from the natural world, are we actually willing to pay attention? One thing that I've discovered is we do need to, I think all flirt work requires us to slow down to notice. So, you know, just that basic inquiry, which is, what am I noticing in this moment? And, you know, because I think that is, it's a dream door into the relationship. And so I noticed last night I was out walking in the forest and I was pulled to go outside because I could tell there was a vibrant sunset. It was oranges and pinks. It was really stunning. But at this time of year, the sun sets very quickly. So I wanted to go and see the colors and then they faded very quickly. And so I was with the dog and we were walking. Well, she had an agenda. She wanted to go to the forest, but it was dark. And, you know, entering into the forest and, you know, and it's like a place I love and I know it well, and yet it was dark. And all of a sudden, other parts of me started rumbling, you know, because I'd gone from this vast, really gorgeous beauty moment into, ooh, it feels a bit dangerous. And what if the coyotes come? Oh, I have to keep the dog closer to me because, you know, she might not be safe. And where I walk, you know, really with a lot of ease, usually I'm like, I can't see where I'm stepping. What if I fall? Like all of this stuff started coming up. And so, Faith, it really made me think about this notion of deep democracy with nature. And, you know, it's like, oh, my beloved forest, it's where I go and I'm so grounded. It's like the airy and beautiful. But last night was a reminder of it's like, it can be dangerous and scary and unexpected here, even in something that's familiar. So it was a really good reminder of the dimensionality of it.
And bringing you straight to your edges.
Yes, big time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the gift in that experience. It's not just all beautiful sunsets. It's also that, oh my God, it's showing me my mind when I'm in the dark and, you know, and the fears that can surround me or, you know, I'll share a personal moment also around that, which is that I have cancer. Cancer is part of nature. It's a natural part of my body. It's not an separate thing over there that's getting me, you know, it is a natural expression of my body in some way. And yet it is so easy to otherize it. No, it's over there. That's not me, but it is me. It's part of myself.
How does that change your relationship with the cancer then, seeing it as a part of you as opposed to this other thing?
Well, it creates relationship with it. You know, I can ask myself, you know, and I can extend my imagination into the cancer, you know, what is it that is growing there? You know, what does it mean that those particular cells don't want to die? You know, what does it mean that it can move around or change? All of those can become inquiries for my own development or inquiries for how is this a mirror for society right now? How is it, you know, true for my marriage or my country or, you know, the evolution with nature right now? So it's a dream door that you can move into, and it's no longer an enemy. It's a conversation. So it's not who's doing what to me, you know, what the cancer is doing to me. It's a conversation with the cancer. And what can I learn?
And so Katie, the notion of guru principle, it shows you your mind. And so this notion of, and again, it's that frame because, you know, cancer could be something to be feared, foreboding, and don't want to be in relationship with it. But what changes when that natural system is actually having, it's working, like in this case, it's working Faith, but it's working the bigger systems around her in the world as well.
You bet. You don't have cancer by yourself. It involves partners and teams.
It's a relationship
and
system.
Family and, you know, so this little cluster of cells is having a gigantic natural impact on the mandala of my life in many, many ways. And that's nature waking us up.
Well, no, and we started thinking about it a little bit through, you know, the meet, reveal, align, and act. So especially, so if we have this, whatever the flirt is from nature, it, you know, so again, it's like, it's something to notice. So meet it, then we need to reveal it. And so what is here for me to learn from this flirt? The inquiry, lean into it, dream into it, explore with it, co-create with it. And notice that in the reveal, it's like we need to hold space for it. You can't rush through it. One little flirt can open up this magnificent portal to inquiry in ways that we would never go. And as we say, maybe take us over some edges on issues. And then when we look at the align and act, then it's like, so with this awareness, what am I going to do and what action? What will the action look like, you know, with this?
How will I take back what I have learned in this encounter into my life?
Yeah.
This is a whole part of the conversation I wasn't expecting to happen here or have, because I think I thought relationship with nature meant all the nice parts of nature that I want to have a relationship with. But actually, there's all those bits that we sort of ignore. And I was recently in Mexico for my brother's wedding. And my gosh, I love that part of nature and the beaches and the sunshine. And then got back to the UK and it's getting dark at 4 and it's raining and it's cold. And that's interesting. Like, what is that mirror revealing about me? And there's probably maybe more in the parts that aren't so easy to accept with open arms for me to learn, perhaps. I don't know if that's what you hold to be true, but that's a harder part of nature for me to lean into. As relationship.
I love what you're saying, because I think what true intimacy is a real dialogue. And if you think about, you know, any real relationship in your life, there's good times and bad times and fights and moments where you don't get along very well. And then you get through it. And, you know, and it's like that with nature, too. I think that there, what can we learn from the whole full range of our experience with nature and let it be a powerful ally that wakes us up?
Faith, you told me a story one time about you and a spider.
Oh.
You said you had a spider, I think, in your garage, and you did not like this spider. So can you tell that story?
Yeah, sure. So I actually had a black widow in my garage, right on the garage door. It was totally identifiable, you know, bulbous body, shiny black, beautiful, to tell you the truth, when I wasn't terrified. And it had the red hourglass. You know, and what's interesting is it tends to position itself in a place where you can see the red hourglass. It's letting you know I'm a black widow. And my mind went apeshit. You know, it's like, oh, my God, it's a black widow. What if it bites one of the dogs? What if it bites me? It's dangerous. What if it has babies? And I have images of the entire garage filled with, you know, millions of black widow spiders. I just went bonkers in about 2 seconds. All that rolled out of my head. And the immediate impulse is, I got to kill it. You know, it's scary. It's scaring me. And I didn't. I stayed my hand, you know, and I just said, I'm just going to stay it for today. You know, I'm not making any decisions. And every day I'd go out there, and trust me, I never walked out into the garage without looking for it and finding it. But I watched, again, perfect guru principle. I watched my mind go through its tricks around this. And every time I just managed to stay my hand, because I was so enthralled with what I was learning about myself. And basically, it stayed there about two and a half months. You know, I saw it multiple times a day. And then one day I came out and something else had eaten it. You know, it wasn't there. There was a couple of legs left and that was it. So something else had eaten it. But that spider taught me more about my fear of the, you know, the things that could happen to me. With nature and my immediate, you know, sort of malevolent homicidalness over, if it's making me uncomfortable, it has to die. And that's how we are with ants and whatever, you know, and I'm not saying never trap the ants in your household. Of course we do, but it could be a little more conscious rather than knee jerk. There's a spider, kill it. So just make yourself aware. Doesn't mean you have to change your pattern immediately. Just become aware and see what will emerge from that relationship.
Wow. That's an amazing example of what that mirror can teach us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do need to kill the spiders in my house, and they're not black widows, so I probably have a lot to learn.
Well, and again, it's not about, oh my God, suddenly I have to, you know, we get to be people. It's sometimes, you know, I wipe those ants out because I don't want ants all over my kitchen, you know, but it's not quite as reflexive to kill the inconvenient weed that's in the middle of my pretty patch of garden. You know, just become a little more aware.
It's making me think of recently being on a driving trip, and we drove a part of highway where there were a number of deer that had been hit. And it wasn't just one, it was one and then another and another. So it was like carnage. It was, and paying attention to, there was a part of me that's like, oh, that's horrible. You know, and then each time, you know, starting to be more like, this is a lot of carnage. And what's going on with this? Like, what are they fleeing? And, you know, it was more about them. And then I was like, what is this telling me about where might I be going too fast that I'm actually hitting things and not even observing? And that was the switch where it was like, it was out there. And then it was like, there's something for me to pay attention to in this very brutal, you know, death. And it was so horrible to see, but it woke me up to another inquiry that I could use to explore something.
Yeah, powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking for a moment, Jenna, that if we were to sort of give people just an incredibly simple map, you know, what are some of the ways we might go about if you encounter, you know, a ground squirrel in your garden that's eating your tomatoes, which also made me homicidal or squirrelicidal. You know, if we were just to go through very lightly, what are some of the steps people can take to connect with the flirts of nature?
I think it's, you know, you notice flirts when you slow down. So one of the base practices is even allowing yourself that time to go outside. I would suggest, so, sitting in stillness and sitting in a place. So there's a practice called sit spot, which is a form of, you know, in a way, it's a bit of a meditative format, but sitting in the same place over time for maybe 20 minutes at a time, where you start to get to know the place and the different types of nature elements that are there, and start to see them and start to see, you know, allow yourself to be open to a flirt and to start to cultivate the practice of slowing down enough and being in a place where you can do that. So I think that's just a basic practice.
That's great. Yeah. So be open, let it come in, and then hold it in gentle inquiry in terms of what it might have to offer you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to say one thing, that because I've run into this with people with flirt work, and that's where somebody sort of says, but wait a minute, this is just all my imagination. Mm. This isn't really, you know, nature. This is just me making stuff up. And the answer is, well, yes, that is true. You are making stuff up, but you wouldn't be making that stuff up unless you had encountered that mosquito or that beautiful tree, or you weren't threatened by that hurricane. You wouldn't be making these things up if you weren't entered into relationship with something. So it's a true third entity experience. So trust what comes to you. Trust what comes to you, whatever comes to you as got a message for you, and let it unfold that way.
I think the step I'm most curious about bringing more of to my life is the being open, because life is very busy. And I heard from a Buddhist master, someone asked him, why do you meditate? And his answer was, well, to see the pretty flowers on my way to work, or something like that. But I wonder about the openness, not just for the flowers, but for everything. And half the time I really am head down listening to a podcast and not really focused on what's around me. How do we be more open when we're busy and we've got back-to-back calls and maybe not even much time outside in nature?
Well, and I think that that is the piece where, so we're all sitting in an environment. I don't know if you can see nature or anything that is from the natural environment around you, Katie. I know I intentionally positioned my screen in front of a window. So I'm often looking out, and I can't tell you how many times something will be happening out there. So it's a flirt from nature that informs something that's going on in here, either with me or when I'm coaching.
Wow.
It comes to fetch you.
It does. And it's like, so I see oftentimes, you know, I have trees outside, so squirrels will jump from branch to branch, and they are so freaking brave. And it's like, you know, taking this leap, and you're just like, I'm oftentimes like, oh, and it's like it lands and it moves on, you know, but it's that willingness to take a risk and jump. And honestly, how that has helped me do inquiry even with a client of just saying, so where are you willing to take a risk on this?
And also, Janet, you have a dozen stories of this is a practical skill that you can use with your couples, with all your systems, with your teams, with your organizations. And Janet, you've done a lot of work with nature as co-coach. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So when I'm working with teams, sometimes what I will do, I intentionally now, wherever I can, try and take people to spaces where if we cannot be outside, we actually can look outside. So natural light, big windows, so that we can actually bring in even some of nature's influence. But oftentimes, if they're working on an inquiry, an issue, a challenge, dreaming into their future, I might say, you know, figure out what that topic is. And I will take them out to nature and ask them to go and wander and just to notice flirts, what catches their attention, and, you know, to do even like a little record of it, and then to bring that back in terms of, you know, awareness. And I may, in fact, ask them to bring something, a physical element from nature, back into the room and literally to share their insights on the topic, and then bring that item into, oftentimes it ends up being created almost like a sculpture where they'll lay it down and it's something gets co-created, and then boom, like nature's in there, you know, so they've brought wisdom and insight, but then there's a sculpture from nature's elements that actually are part of now a reveal of their system. And they tell a story about themselves and the issue just by using the sculptural elements of nature to tell the story of what's emerging, what's evolving from that issue.
It's brilliant.
And I think one of the things I love about that is we know that teams are always, most of the teams I've worked with are exhausted.
Yes.
They're always in production. COVID, you know, threw them for a loop. They are always being asked to do more, produce more. There's never enough resources. And allowing someone to wander out and find something in nature opens them up to imagination, to creativity, to essence and dreaming. And it's naturally refreshing for teams to not have a product they have to produce immediately, but just to wander and put the inquiry out. And I had one wonderful and weird experience where I was coaching a team and they actually asked us to coach around management issues. But the particular topic we were working on one afternoon was market share. How could you get more market share? And, you know, I didn't know that much from market share. I don't need to know that much about, I don't need to be an expert in market share. But we sent them out, just like Janet said, find something that suggested something to you from nature that suggested something about market share. They all went out because they have their own wisdom and knowledge inside them. And nature worked with them and they brought things back that allowed them to more creatively look at market share. So all we had to do is create the structure for them to find their own wisdom. And nature truly was the coach to connect them with what they didn't know they knew.
I want to underline that didn't know they knew, because so much of what you're saying here, it doesn't feel like this new thing that we have to start trying. It's very much innate and within us.
Yes.
And I know that when I ask clients, you know, what's the weather pattern that you're bringing to this session? They get it. And we see it in literature all the time. I remember when I was at school, everyone got obsessed with the idea of pathetic fallacy. And we all learned that term. And it was the thing you put in your essay. Oh, it's a pathetic fallacy when it's stormy and then there's anger in the relationship. But we know this. And
yes.
we all know it from a very young age, actually, that the storm is angry. And how actually we can turn to that again.
Yeah.
Not just in the personal, but in the professional too. I love that you're bringing this in with teams, because they probably need it more now than ever, given how fast the pace of life is.
It's particularly powerful when teams or relationship systems are stuck in consensus reality, and to get them to go into dreaming and literally nature, the nature, you know, human connection is very essency, and allowing people to go there. And it's the imaginal and the dreaming then comes from that. People, I have witnessed people who don't like speaking on issues and they're quite quiet, and how they become like poets when they start to speak from the inspiration of nature.
Wow, that's amazing.
They find something that is in them that they can speak and talk about this notion of resonance and common humanity and like accessing a point. It's deeply profound to see, you know, and then the emotional field, the dynamic can shift, you know, to what's possible instead of just, it's like, this is the way it is. So it's, it, you know, literally if you get stuck there, it's a magical and fast way to get people out of consensus reality.
Yeah.
And do you think that is because people are connecting to something that's bigger than themselves?
Yes.
You know, they come into the meeting and they're so worried about themselves and then suddenly there's this expansion.
And literally they breathe and they can breathe in a different way too.
They can breathe in a different way. But just to change that language slightly, it's not that they're so much getting in touch with something bigger than themselves. They are getting in touch with their bigger self.
Oh, gosh, I love that.
Nature isn't separate. You know, they are opening up to the hugeness of their own nature that was always there the whole time. And they broke down that barrier and allowed it to enter.
It makes me think of when we talk about being naturally creative and intelligent, it's the innate intelligence that is deeply in people and nature and that channel of communication.
So when you're in that bigger space of self, do you find it easier to hold life's really challenging questions, say existential crisis and all those kind of mysteries that as humans we struggle sometimes to hold?
Yeah. You know, for me, I think what it does, again, it expands my identity. I'm not so holding so tightly. The weave of my character loosens and I can expand. And, you know, it's sort of like the difference between if you have a hurricane in 4 square miles of space, it's devastating. If you can imagine the same energy playing out over a vast ocean with all the room in the world, it's not so devastating. So a lot of times I feel like I'm that hurricane in, you know, 2 square miles. But when I connect with nature and relax, expand my boundary, that fullness of my nature has a bigger space to play out in that doesn't seem so catastrophic.
Can I give another example?
Please.
Very recent, because it is around the bigger self. I was working with a leader who, it was becoming quite clear that she was creating some chaos in her organization. And we've been coaching the leadership team and some really hard things had been spoken. And so I reached out to her and I said, come see me. And we sat in my backyard and I purposely sat her around. I had a fire going. And it was like, because I realized that there was something, there was like this spinning energy in her. So remember, it's fall here. As she sat and talked, and she was just like this crazy energy and just talking so fast, the leaves were whirling around her, literally. And so, and once she had kind of, and she calmed, and all I said was, do you notice the leaves? And she's like, yes. And as she calmed, and I said, so what do you make up about those leaves and what they may be telling you? And she literally was like, oh my gosh, I am a whirling dervish and I'm creating energy all over the place. And then she just sort of paused. And as she did, they stopped the whirling.
Wow.
And I said to her, what just happened? Like, it was really doing emotional field work, you know, but, you know, literally nature, the flirt being the guru to her. And she's like, I need to slow down. I need to be more grounded. I need to be more conscious of the energy that I'm creating and I need to own it. And the conversation completely shifted from that point. Her awareness completely shifted and the action she was able to take from that was both gentle towards herself and yet courageous by being owning impact too.
Wow. That's an amazing story, Janet.
It's a great story. Mm-hmm.
So it's also, so I would say that's the other instinct I have, or just encouragement of, if anybody doing, whether it's with teams or individuals, that we also have to coach their relationship system as well. It's like really try to take them into a natural environment and use the questions, the inquiry from nature to help guide and see what's available. But it profoundly brings an awareness that can change.
And a refreshment of somehow, because you're out of consensus reality.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems to have offered more clarity in that example. Like the glasses were taken off and that individual could see it in a different way, in a different light.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say that we often warn, once you become sensitized to paying attention to flirts, it's like a fire hose. They're there all the time. There's always something wanting to flirt with you. And, you know, it's about finding your way of, okay, that's enough flirts for now. But it does open up a creative conversation with the world that can bring you in so much information to whatever degree you can absorb. And it's there all the time. You didn't make it up. It's always there. We just don't notice.
You made me think my local park must be much more interesting if you have those glasses on and seeing all those flirts compared to when I'm head down running my 5K loop. I want to go in with some Faith and Janet glasses tomorrow and see what I see and see what I feel and learn about myself too.
You know, sometimes you have to also, you know how we talk about channel switching in the work? Sometimes I've discovered we're so visual, so I close my eyes. And when I close my eyes, I start to hear things and I feel things around me in a different way. You know, so I think it's also be aware to cultivate the sensory elements of us so that we can have the relationship with nature and receive all its wisdom. We actually have to cultivate our senses. So sometimes touching, I don't know how many people pictures exist of me being at a tree, sniffing it, or putting my hands on it, or putting my cheek on rough bark, or Faith, even you and I, when we were together, like, you know, I have a picture of you and you're like right up to, you know, the tree and you've got your face right on it, you know, but it's like cultivating different ways of having that sensory experience opens the channel even wider.
So thinking about nature flirts as guru principle, is there one flirt that stands out in your lives that taught you something that was quite profound and maybe life-changing?
I'd have to say it was my spider. It was pretty powerful. So that black widow spider for me just was, you know, wasn't a flirt, it was a 2x4.
Yeah, and I would say for me, I had a pretty profound experience a few years ago where I learned about, you know, when trees fall in the forest and they die, they're dying, but how they're decomposing and yet they are becoming nutrients for other plants. And oftentimes another plant species or tree species will grow from that tree. So it really was like, whoa, am I in a stage of life where I'm no longer growing to be the big tall tree and taking up space, but rather laying down and getting out of the way and cultivating and helping develop in a different way. Mm. So from a life transition moment of sort of and they're apparently called nursery trees or, you know, and so they nurture the forest floor literally with new growth. So metaphorically, it was really profound and made me be aware I'm shifting into a new life stage. Literally, my work may be changing to look different now because of that.
It's beautiful. It also talks to how interdependent we are.
And inclusive, you know, welcome to diversity instead of fighting it, creating like literally a safe landscape for new things to grow, you know, and also, I mean, other things will come in and try and break it apart. You know, that's what nature is. It's the fullness of it all.
I think you've both inspired, well, certainly me and many of our listeners, to get out and listen and look and hear and feel using all of our senses in a different way, in a heightened way. What was that you said? So that we can feel how big we really are.
Yeah. Yeah. Expand our consciousness to the whole globe.
Thank you both. This was a glorious conversation and I can't wait to have you back on for part 3, 4, 5. It's endless really where we could go with nature, isn't it?
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Janet. A huge pleasure.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And yes, thank you for helping spread the word of the power of nature and its flirts as guru and guide and teacher for all.
Thank you both. Take care.
I want to say a big thanks to Janet and Faith for opening up my mind around my relationship with nature. Here are some of my key takeaways from this episode. Quantum flirts help us to become aware and awake to things. They're those things that grab your attention. It could be a sight, a sound, a smell, and they're very sensory. And flirts with nature can be quite provocative, because nature can awaken all of our sensory channels.
When we start to partner to dance with the flirt, it can start to bring to consciousness something that was maybe in the back of your consciousness, and it brings it to light. It brings it forward in a new way. Nature flirts are very imaginal and relational. You can't experience a flirt without experiencing something outside of yourself that's flirting with you. The world is already trying to flirt with you. It's sending you colours, smells, and even scary things. And it's up to us to meet it and see what it's trying to tell us. Being in relationship with nature starts in your back garden. When you fall in love with something in your garden, it's an opening that can help us to be in more conscious and intentional relationship with nature. Everything is nature. We are nature. Nature isn't something that's out there. It's in all of us, and it's a part of us at all times. Seeing ourselves as a part of nature can help us to create relationship with it. And one of the easiest ways to do this is through slowing down. Thank you for listening to the Relationship Matters podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your colleagues and friends so that we can continue to spread these ideas across the globe. And if you haven't already, do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And for more information on the ORS courses, please visit crrglobal.com. For over 20 years, CRR Global has accompanied leaders, teams, and practitioners on their journey to stronger relationships by focusing on the relationship itself, not only the individuals occupying it. This leads to a community of change makers around the world. Supported by a global network of faculty and partners, we connect, inspire, and equip change agents to shift systems one relationship at a time. We believe relationship matters, from humanity to nature to the larger whole.